happy to follow. This report is, presentation is an update in terms of the performance of children's social care. Hopefully the format we've been using now, because I think this is the third time that we've presented the quarter's data to you. So I've just summarised, and I know I've shown this slide to you before, but these are the key priorities of our children and young people's plan. And obviously the work that we're doing in children's social care relates heavily across the majority of those areas. We contribute significantly to Children's Trust, and our key priorities are guided by the needs assessment that's undertaken through the council every couple of years, where we look at the data and identify what the key priorities for the Children's Trust. So that's just to reflect that. We also are responsible for reporting back on our corporate plan, and so there are a number of measures relating specifically to children and young people within our corporate plan, really clearly identified by the Cabinet as a priority within their planning. So again, what we're reporting against relates only to the Children's Trust, but to corporate plan as well. So, one of the measures that we are asked to report on relates to the rate of children who are looked after, and that's per 10,000 children population. As you know, as I've stated in prior meetings, this rate is above the national average. It is above where we would want it to be, but there is a historical legacy of cases from before 2014, and when Hampshire Children's Services entered into a partnership with us, we identified there was a wide range of cases where actually the children should have had interventions at an earlier stage in life. Unfortunately, we've had some repercussions of that in terms of us having to look at our thresholds and look at actually children needing to come into our care. So our rate is higher than where we want it to be, but we're doing really sustained work across children's services to reduce that rate. However, we're absolutely convinced that the right children are in the care system. We're not unnecessarily bringing children into care, and we're not unnecessarily keeping children in care if actually they can be reunified with their families. It's probably also worth mentioning that nationally the rate has increased significantly over the last 5 years. This just is a slide which shows the care profile. So for, of our children in care, what is the age of the children? And you'll see that ours is quite heavily weighted to our teenagers, 14, 15, 16, 17. And that bears out what I was just saying about some of those children that came into the system at a later stage. And actually, those children are being supported through their journey of care and care leavers as well. And we are hoping that our profile becomes more in line with the national average, which we've seen perhaps higher numbers of more than 5-year-olds coming into the system and a reduction in our later adolescents. And that's just showing the actual figures. So the dark blue is the rate of children in care, the light blue is the actual numbers. So at the end of quarter one, we had 233 children who were looked after by the local authority. I think today, when I looked, it was at 229. Interestingly, we have stayed around that number for the last few quarters, so our numbers aren't actually increasing significantly, which isn't the case in the number of other authorities. So we're sort of bubbling along at around 225 to 230, and obviously that goes up and down on a daily basis. One other thing to say is that not all of those children will be in placements with the local authority. We're having an increase, and again it's a national trend, of children being placed on care orders at home, and so not all of those children are in foster care places or residential. One of the other things that we look at is the percentage of children that are on child protection for a second or subsequent time. And I'm pleased to say we're performing really well on this. So obviously what we are looking for is a child comes onto a child protection plan and we're able to work with the family, that actually they're able to step down from statutory and social care provision, and that change is then sustained for the family, and we don't have them coming back onto child protection plans. You'll see that our baseline was 15%, and for the last quarter we were down at 7.7%, so we're obviously looking for that trend to continue. We're already above our three-year target, which was 12%, so we hope we sustain that. That's just another way of looking at that. We also look at the percentage of repeat referrals to children's social care within the last 12 months. We're doing some work with Hampshire around our lens of repeat referrals, because we've identified that actually we're a bit of an outlier compared to nationally. What we, the work that we've done so far is looking at is that actually the way that our system and our processes are set up mean that if a child is open to early help, if a child has stepped down from children's social care to early help support, which is non-statutory, and then the problems escalate, at the moment in time, that has to go back through the MASH process, say back through as a referral. In other local authorities, that's not the case. It can be stepped up back up to social care. And we think that's why we've got a higher re-referral rate than perhaps some other local authorities. It's not an indication of the work not happening. And that's just again looking at the number of children booked on the book. We then have some indicators that we report on monthly internally, which helps us to track of where we are. So those indicators that I've just shown you are sort of the longer term areas that we look at. But this is what we look at on a monthly basis to make sure that we are in line with where we want to be. So I'll just run through these. So a really important thing is that we are undertaking assessments with children and families, and that we get our assessments done within the timescales, so that there isn't drift in terms of putting plans into place for children and families. And this is something we've been paying close attention to, as has my director. And so I'm pleased to be able to report that we've seen a real significant improvement in terms of our timeliness of our assessments. At the end of quarter one, it was 88.8%. Our target is 90%. And actually, last week we had our performance meeting in the department, and we have achieved that target for August, so that's fantastic. But we're doing really sustained work to make sure that every social worker is getting their assessments on time. Another indicator that we look at is making sure that we have our child protection conferences within 15 days of the initial strategy meeting. Again, this is very much about making sure that we're getting support out to families and getting them on child protection plans in a timely fashion so that that work can start happening with families. Our target is 85%. We're normally well performing as a local authority in this, and actually for the last quarter we were at 85% exactly. Now sometimes those conferences don't happen on that exact day for a very good reason. Sometimes it's that actually we can't get any family members to attend, and actually it's really important that we get their sign up to that. Very occasionally, but actually it's very rare on the island, is because we can't get quality in terms of partner agencies. But where that's a factor, that's reported to me, and we can address that with partner agencies, but as I say, that's very, very rare. And sometimes it's because actually additional information is required from partner agencies as well, so we follow that up. Our number of children with child protection plan is another area that we monitor. Again, this is an area where we're exceeding the rate nationally, again, for all the legacy issues that we've spoken about. We had a slight increase in quarter four, up to 196, which was a bit disappointing because we had actually got down to about 175. However, at the end of quarter one, we had 189, and actually that's reduced. I can tell you that today that's about 179. So, you know, again, it's about making sure that we make the choice targets, and this is about making sure our children are at the right place and getting the right support. But actually, in terms of how busy safeguarding systems are for ourselves and so for our partner agencies, it's good to see that figure is reducing. And we believe that that's as a result of more effective child and youth planning and early health planning. The percentage of children who are looked after who have a review within timescales is showing at 71%, and I just wanted to provide a little bit of explanation behind this particular slide. Actually, this was something that was manually tracked by our safeguarding unit previously, and we reported, you know, very good compliance. We're normally up about 85%. We've changed our system slightly, but this data is now taken directly off our ICS system, which is how we should be doing it. But that meant that there was some data cleansing and some catch-up required. It's at 71% at the end of quarter one. I can tell you today it's at 87.9%. Our target's 90%. What I'm assured is that actually those reviews have taken place. It's just that they weren't recorded on the system previously in that way. And we've actually made we've got an improvement in our system, so that is reporting accurate data as well. In terms of our sort of the quality indicators we look at for our looked after children, we want to make sure that they have health assessments and also that they have dental checks within our care. And this is something that we've been working really hard with our colleagues in health and also dental providers on the Isle of Wight. We've seen an improvement in terms of our health assessments that are being undertaken and our dental checks that are being undertaken. We still think there's room to improve. Some of it is a recording issue. Some of it has been a capacity issue within our health services to actually undertake those health assessments. And some of it has been an availability of dentists, NHS dentists on the Isle of Wight, which probably those of you who are resident here, or well aware of, I certainly am for my family at the moment. So we are working really, really hard. We actually now have the LAC nurse works within our service one day a week. It's actually located at County Wicklow to improve communication. And we have had a project over the summer holiday period to catch up on those health assessments. So for quarter two, and you can hold me to it, we will have much better data information. Okay, and again, I want to explain the data around our care leavers, because this looks like abysmal performance, and actually it's been an area that's been really outstanding for us historically. Again, this relates to the way that data is collected of our information system. We have previously been tracking this manually, and I can tell you today, I've had the data back through to today, that 96% of our care leavers are in suitable accommodation. The way this indicator collects data is very particular. It's from a window of around a couple of months around a child's 18th birthday. And if we don't get the recording accurate in that window, then we get poor recording, poor reporting of it. So we are doing some work with our data team and our care leavers team to make sure that we're really tight on that recording and we get it accurate. But I did want to provide that visual, so that's a very strong figure, that actually the true live data as of today is that 96% of our care leavers are in convention. And again, for quarter two, we'll see a significant improvement because the recording on the system will be much better. Okay, and then the percentage of our care leavers aged 18 plus in education, employment or training is down 54%. We have undertaken some really important work over the past few months doing individual action plans for every single one of those care leavers so that we are identifying what opportunities specific to them. We're working with the college to identify where we can create bespoke courses for those young people to try and improve that figure, because it's not quite up, it's definitely not where we want it to be. And then just a few few other indicators that I know, Vanessa, you were keen to understand on case rates, and so we added this onto the end of this report. So our average case loads at the end of quarter one were down from 22.9% down to, which was the previous quarter, down to 20.1%, sorry, number of cases, 22.9 down to 20.9 at the end of quarter one. And also our averages for our new qualified social workers, which we try to keep those obviously lower and ensure that they are getting less complex cases, was slightly down from the previous quarter. And in that last quarter, the percentage of our new qualified social workers was 12% of our workforce, whereas it had been 13% the previous quarter. We also monitor the number of agency workers we have in our department, and those of you that sat down with 55 years ago and they were up on stage 50% of our workforce were agency social workers. I'm pleased to say that we were down to 4 agency social workers in this quarter, and that represented 5% of our workforce. It's slightly up as of today, it's 7 at the moment, but that's due to over the summer holidays we've had some churn in our staffing. Like we have got recruitment campaigns and we have some new social workers permanent staff starting with us in the next few weeks, which will reduce the number of agency social workers once again.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Cathy. Councillor Howell.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to just ask about the list that starts off on D3 and D4. Four different items there. It looks like something you take part of Christmas. I'd like more information on that, just to come ahead. So, who actually is supposed to deliver these items? Because it's already a year and a bit bad. And get some idea of the traffic light system between yellow and red, of whether they've been delivered and how they've been delivered. You know, things like provided play, leisure, culture, and sporting opportunities. You know, who does that? You know, reduce the crime and antisocial behaviour? Is that the police? Or is it someone from the council? I don't know. All these items here encourage physical activity and healthy eating. How does that work? Promoting sex health. Help children to live in safe and supportive families. You know, it's a list that you would write as a wish list. But I would want to know, is it a wish list or is it something we're working to, and how it fits in and how it's delivered? So I would like to see this. I would like the information, personally, to know who's delivering each of these items, who's responsible for delivering these items, and how far they've got with it. I know we're only a year into at the moment, but I would still like to know how they've got on and how it's going to work there for the next 2 years. Thank you, Cathy.
Who can it?
Okay, so these priorities are the plan that the Children's Trust worked towards. The Children's Trust is a collective of different partner agencies across the island, so included in that the police, the NHS Trust, the CCG, voluntary sector, schools, our education colleagues, SEN, and we're all represented.
Senator Bernardo, sorry.
Yes, as a voluntary sector provider, absolutely includes Bernardo's, who are commissioned by the local authority.
Not voluntary, they're paid to do a job, aren't they?
They are, absolutely. Yeah. They are commissioned to deliver services on behalf of the RFI Council.
And yet we never hear what they're doing. So.
John, let
Kevin.
Well, we have had several reports here, and they've provided annual reports. That Children's Trust works together to deliver the priorities that are on the plan. So none of these priorities can be delivered by one agency in isolation. It's about how we collectively address these together. We had a Children's Trust meeting yesterday, and very timely, we said that actually we need to do an annual report to pull together the work that has been undertaken over the last year against these priorities and assess what outcomes have been achieved through delivery of this work. So that's certainly something that's going to be happening over the next couple of months, and certainly something that we could present at a future committee meeting if that was required, or we could circulate.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Andre.
Thank you, Chair. It's very, very useful to have these sets of KPIs, but can I just ask who actually sets the targets for them? Is it us setting the targets, or is there a benchmark? And I have a second question as well. Now that children in the system stay under our auspices until they're 25, they stay with us till 25. How will that work? This is obviously supposition, but do you think that that will actually improve or hinder the success rate of 18 plus education, employment, or training? Thank you.
So if I take the second part of that, the next report I'm going to be presenting is about the new duties that we have for care leavers up to the age of 25. Current performance measures are related specifically to our current cohort, I suppose, Kelly. So we need to work out what we want to measure in terms of the care leavers up to the age of 25, because it's an offer of support for care leavers up to the age of 25, they don't have to take it up. And it's a slightly different offer to what's provided up to the age of 21. Some of them I've seen Department for Education targets that we have in terms of our percentages. And others of those within that, we've looked at what, in terms of the levels that we set ourselves, we look at what our statistical neighbours are delivering at. And so we're trying to get within that trajectory, and some of them are set by Steve and our corporate manager.
I have a couple of points, please. On D3, improve achievement gaps for vulnerable children, do they get careers advice or specialised careers advice because they are vulnerable?
I mean, that's a very wide priority, and I think the work that my colleagues have explained tonight contributes to that particular priority area. In terms of specific advice and support, we do target resources at vulnerable young people, and the support that our PAs in our care leavers team does includes supporting young people around education, employment and training, but we work very closely with our colleagues in education around that careers guidance because they're actually the experts in that area.
Thank you. On D11, percentage of repeat referrals to children's social care. I don't understand how, this is a personal comment, if a child is under either taken into care or under protection, how can they be returned and then come back again? I appreciate you have court orders, and parents, I presume, can get a court order to see their children. But I'm appalled that if a child has been taken into care, gets returned, and then they come back again, hold on, you know, why did they go back the first time anyway?
Okay, so some of those repeat referrals relate to a case that we have managed at child protection or child in need level, and actually there's been significant improvement that we've seen in the family, and they've stepped down and either we've closed the case or they're receiving support from community services. If there then is a crisis in the family, it may result in a referral escalation of the situation at home, and that may result in a referral into our services. In terms of children who are looked after, and then we seek to reunify those children back home. We have a very clear framework that we work to, which has been developed with the SPCC and a number of local authorities. We started implementing that in the last 12 months. And we worked a really risk-managed process to support reunification of families, but we only do it where it's appropriate and safe to do it. And part of the framework was developed because it was recognised nationally that of children returning home, a third of them came back into care. And so actually it's about how do we support and sustain those children to return home to their families. And so we've got a whole project that we're looking at what we're delivering internally to support those reunifications. Our work for children care has been predominantly focused on when the children are in place and making sure that they're healthy, that they're in school and providing the support that they need. We have tended not to work with the parents once those children are in care. That's the change that some of this reunification work has brought about. It's actually, we start working with the parents, we might be doing work with adult mental health services and adult substance misuse services to support that parent and to change their behaviours, improve their situation so that actually they are in a position to bring their children home and we are able to reunify. But only that I really stress where it's safe and appropriate to do so.
Following up on that, do the children have a say as to whether they're going to be returned? Because that would be my first question. All this parental statutory parental court orders take precedence.
The children's views and wishes is an absolutely fundamental part of any assessment that we do and any planning that we do. And as you know, through the corporate parenting board, we have a really active participation programme for children and people on the island. We review the involvement of children in their plans and their assessments through every case audit that we look at. So it's absolutely fundamental to the work that we do, that we take care of the children's thoughts and wishes, and that guides our work, absolutely.
Right. Thank you for that. Councillor Love?
Yeah. Once again, thank you for the report. It's very complicated, and we could actually go into all kinds of statistical data right down to the basis of all. What do you need? What do we need to do to help with you even further forward? Get that statistics and talk about what we need, what can we do to support you to help. I don't really care about the statistical stuff, it's about people's lives. What can we do to do? Is there anything that jumps out specifically you think we need to address now? Because that's what we're here for, is to actually look at what needs to change and improve to make things better for you. I know there's perhaps a million things we could do. If you were going to pick one thing out, what would you want? I know that's quite a question. It's fine. What I'm really saying is it's fine talking about all the statistics and stuff, but as a school committee, we want to help you improve things. What do you need from us? One thing that can, and it doesn't necessarily have to be about money, but okay, it's not money. It might be about something else. What do you need to change?
Okay. Steve's given me some guidance, but for me personally, I think the focus that this council has given to safeguarding over the past 5 years has been really important, and I think keeping it as an absolute priority in every design line, I think, is really, really key. And keeping the stability in terms of that, and in terms of our management across children's services, I think is key for us. We know that the authorities that have constant churn of senior leadership, that's really, really challenging. So I think that's absolutely critical. One other thing, if I may, we're just about to launch our fostering and adoption recruitment campaign, and I think as councillors who are very active in the local communities, promoting fostering and adoption in terms of as an opportunity for people to take up and get involved with, I think is absolutely critical. We need to have local provision in terms of foster care placements for our children, and that keeps them closer to their schools and communities, and so that's another thing that I feel is an absolute priority.
Councillor Brady.
I want to add one thing to that, actually. Safeguarding Cathy's spot on is absolutely paramount to all of this. We have a very active children's safeguarding board on the island. Meetings are really extensive, lots of relevant parties, safeguarding conferences. And ironically, as Councillor Hastings will back me up, we had a briefing on Monday on safeguarding, external trainer. And one of the things that was questioned was the safeguarding starts with everybody. Corporate parent responsibility. So the one that there's only 5 out of 40 councillors.
Six.
Yeah, we were about the briefing and it was extremely good. But if we're not setting the example of, you know, doing the training, attending the briefings, because safeguarding starts with every single member of the public on the island, and safeguarding is the key to all of this.
Thank you. I'd just like to go back to something Councillor Andre said about targets, because I'm fairly new to this committee. It would be really helpful if you kind of set out where the targets are derived from, so whether they're local targets, national targets, and possibly where we benchmark against other local authorities, particularly around the health assessments of dental checks, because they're so important. It would be quite interesting to see where we are and how we compare to other authorities.
Absolutely, we can provide what are, whether the targets are locally or nationally derived. In terms of comparison with other areas, the DfE publish annual statistical data on that, so we won't be able to compare it on a quarterly basis, but we can certainly provide data in terms of, you know, at any point of time, what the comparators were.
I have one further question. D15, we talk about health assessment dental checks. Now, we know that cows have, I think, shut the dental provision.
Somerset Partnership.
Yeah. And are you having problems with health and dental checks? And if you are, is there anything that this committee can do to help?
The closure of the care provision obviously only affects the dental side of things. I think I've said here before, it's a challenge finding NHS dentists across the island, and so we have been working with NHS England to ensure that looked after children are prioritised. In terms of the health assessments, we've got a really clear action plan in place. We've undertaken a peer review with the looked after children's nurse from Hampshire, who's looked at our systems, looked at our processes, including within health. And we are progressing with that. So as I say, I think we're going to see a significant change in terms of data in relation to that particular indicator. So I feel that work is in hand to resolve those issues.
Sorry, can I just add, we've done a lot of work on our health and dental check, and I can sit here quite confidently and tell you what actually, if I looked after children, 96% if I looked after children, have had an up-to-date dental check. Nothing compared to statistical labels, that is a very common portion.
Right. Thank you for that information. The last question from me is really, when we have new social workers, how long does it take, roughly? Because I presume when social workers arrive, they have qualifications. How long is it before they become a social worker rather than a trainee?
It's our principal.
Oh.
My most importantly, if you do such like this, we look at employees when they just finish their degree. We employ them as child practitioners until they get their HCPC registration through. And then they start off as newly qualified social workers. We have an excellent assessment supported year employment course for them. They have a high level of supervision. They have weekly supervision for the first period, and then to reduce the fortnight fee, and then after such a period, if everything is done how we would hope, then they go down to monthly supervision. They also have additional reflective supervision throughout our workforce development team. There are a package of training that they have to attend. There is a mid-range review. They are observed in practice. And then there's a final report and observation done at the end. That then doesn't stop. We then go into our second year where they're further supported and there's further training and still protected to them. But we then encourage them and we will support them to do. Gain additional experience by working alongside more experienced social workers, so they will do the child protection bit but be supported. They will do some care procedures but be supported, and so they're not thrown over the deep end. So there's a whole package of support we put in. What we do find out is, what research will tell us, is that social workers don't leave to go to another authority for more money. They will go to another authority if they don't feel supported and they're given the opportunities. And I think actually, in the cohort that we've talked about this 8 weeks, we've actually kept a very high support. And the ones that have left tend to be for personal reasons, that they've had family on the mainland that they need to give back to for whatever reason. So I think we can be quite proud of actually how we support our social work.
Because that would have been my next question, do they stay or do they go? But I think the fact that you've mentioned support, supporting them all the way through, must be so important. Anyway, thank you for that. Any other questions on this, or we can move on? In which case, do vote please on recommendations in the report.
It's just
there aren't any proposals, are there?
Jim, do you think I should declare that I'm a member of the fostering panel?
For the next item?
Sorry?
For the next item? Or for this?
No, the item has just gone.
Yeah. I think, actually, John, that we do know this, but thank you for raising it again. And Councillor Andre, the same. Right.